Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear, my brothers, we all locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun, so call me Pharaoh now.
Rabbit
that's just some food for thought, so take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green. Money
Damn.
Over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
Damn.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him. This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses, damn. I'm tired of all my people. See, that's niggas with no action plan.
And
I didn't choose to rap, he just fell into a backup plan. So
yeah.
Let go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When they looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us? Cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers. And you can't hold us down, we hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military, college.
Welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Tuesday, December the 27th, 2016, and the time? The time is 12 noon, Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today, and as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable, I respect you, and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we are continuing with part two of the three-part series entitled The Blueprint for Success. So we're looking at the keys, if you will. We're looking at three important elements that are needed for this thing that we call success, and everybody's definition of that word success is different. This is, again, kind of an introduction or layout, if you will, to my premium clients and my premium products that I am going to be doing and that I am doing in 2017, which is elevating my game, so to speak, because it's very difficult for people to single out that one thing that they need to think and to do in order to have the desired outcome. Since everybody is different, we all are wired We all have different life experiences. We all have different perceptions. We all process information differently. It's very, very, very important that we examine the personal experiences and the culture or the environment that allows for the biological regulators, that allows for the biological regulators that regulate your temple, because it is the biology of the temple that establishes the life-sustaining patterns or the negative habit patterns. So I have to, you have to, we have to identify in order for us to even have a conversation, in order for us to even to start defining the terms, we have to know exactly what it is that is limiting your belief or what is prohibiting you from seeing what's already there. And it is my job to take 25 people to help them identify and to remove their limiting beliefs and replace that limiting belief with an unlimited new habit, routine, or pattern. This, my brothers, this, my sisters, is what I am doing in 2017. And I'm looking for 25 people who want to do the same thing in their life, because that's what I've done in my life, and that is to remove that limiting belief system that says, I am going to deliberately fail so that way I can receive the attention and love from other people. Let me say that again. So you're living your life and you are self-sabotaging your life in order to validate a belief. And if we cannot, if you cannot identify and remove that underlining subconscious 8-year-old kid that's sitting in the seat of your soul, then everything that we are discussing today and for the rest of your life will go in one ear and out the other, because it is very difficult to pinpoint exactly what single element that does not allow you to step outside the existing box. Because that glass ceiling that you have, again, prohibits you from oscillating or vibrating on your total package or with your total vibratory rate. So the only way for you to get out of your negative habit pattern, this reoccurring loop that you're in, is to consciously expose it, to identify this negative habit pattern, and for us to transcend this negative habit pattern with a positive new ritual or behavior or massive action. So today we're talking about part two of the biology of success. And in part two, my brothers and sisters, the most important thing is to understand the mental preparation, because the mental preparation is going to expose the mindset. It's going to allow you to attract. It's going to allow you to deal. It's going to allow you to establish a particular attitude that's going to allow you to overcome. It's going to empower you. That's going to identify what habits that you need to make in order to draw the resources into your life. So that way you can achieve the goals that you've set for yourself. But all of this sounds great, but we still have to under, over, and understand that the blueprint for success is designed for you to travel along your life path, not mine. And so it's important that we understand, again, these experiences, whether they be toxic relationships, whether they be a mediocre, you know, job, whether it's some type of health or psychological or sociological issue, it's important, brothers and sisters, that our life and our business is lived on our terms. It's important that your life and your business is lived on your terms. Because, again, it is only by living life according to your design, according to your DNA, according to the things that God has designed and gifted you to do, that is the only way that you are going to be, are going to rise to the level of your success. And so the first thing, again, is that we talked about in yesterday's, is preparing the soil, preparing your mind. And then once you prepare the mind, something happens. If that's properly done, if the mind is properly prepared, it's going to allow you to remove those limiting beliefs that are preventing you from moving forward. Because the desire is there, but something is limiting. Something is preventing you from moving forward. And it is my job to assist you with understanding what is the thing that is denying you that success, which is a combination of many different things and many different elements that all must come together in a particular method, in a particular methodology, or in a specific way. And this way allows you, again, to take all of these pieces of puzzles, and put them together so that way you actually establish a holistic worldview. But there are certain factors absolutely essential and critical to your overall success. And those factors, if they're not identified, the limiting ones and the empowering ones, you must be able to identify and make those necessary decisions in order to draw the resources, in order to utilize your God-given strengths and your talents and your skills. That is going to allow you to take massive action in the direction of the objectives and the goals that you have set. This is going to allow you to take charge of your emotions, and it's going to proactively propel you forward. So it is this important step of finding ways by which you motivate yourself to take the necessary actions to achieve the necessary plan. That, my brothers, that, my sisters, is massive action. Because according to step two, nothing happens until step one. And so the blueprint for this success in your life is to actually do step one in a way or in a manner that it allows you to automatically. Now, your autoimmune system is proof positive of the biological regulator that is designed to propel you forward. And this biological regulator is going to prepare you into taking massive action because it is going to override the deliberately failing. So why are you deliberately failing is the question that you have to answer today. And my program is designed to show you exactly why you are deliberately failing, deliberately. So deliberate, the word deliberate, engage in a long and careful plan. So you have thought about something, you have pondered this, and you are purposely, deliberately failing. So by playing small, you are being rewarded. So if you become successful and if you do what I tell you to do, that means that you can no longer receive the love of your mother and your father. You can no longer receive the love of your husband or your wife. You can no longer receive the support of your church and your community. You can no longer be accepted in the hood. When I go back to the hood, I am not accepted in the hood because I don't have a bunch of children out of wedlock. Because I don't drink. I don't smoke. I'm not a felon. So all of the traits and attributes that are required to get my black man's card, to be accepted by my homeboys, and I go home, they say, oh, dog, man, you know, you're a turncoat. You're an Oreo. You know, well, you're an Uncle Tom. Yeah, you know, dog, man, you ain't down with us no more, man. Okay, well, so let me get this right. So if I don't fail, if I actually pursue success, so if I don't have a traditional 9-to-5, then I can't receive love. That's absolutely correct. So in order to receive love, I got to sabotage my business so that way I go get a 9-to-5, then everybody loves me. If I got a job, I'm the greatest thing. Man, I'm like Jesus. I can walk on water. Doesn't matter how much money I make. It only matters that I fit into the box of other people's perception. That's why you're not successful. The reason you're not successful is because you're living your life on other people's terms and not yours. You can't, because there are neuropeptides that establishes the protein development that releases the chemical compounds on a biological level that prohibits you from becoming successful. That's why you get anxiety. That's why you get nervous. That's why your palms start sweating. That's why whatever it is required for you to be successful, you biologically shut yourself down because of the bioregulators inside of the body that prohibits you from being a success. And unless you deal with that, brother, unless you deal with that system, everything you're studying, all of the shit that you're doing is a waste of freaking time. That's why I don't have very many friends. Because when I tell them the truth, they tell me that I ain't like that, dude. I'm like, okay. No problem. Because, see, it's hard to look in the mirror and realize that the problem is actually in your head. It's not the white man, the black man, the blue man, the green man. There is something that's prohibiting you from taking massive action. And the reason that you can't take massive action, because you have not cultivated with inside of the body the seed or seeds of action that will automatically propel you forward towards the attainment of a worthwhile, worthy goal and objective. And it is very difficult to pinpoint because it's buried underneath all of the years of psychobabble. And you got to ask yourself that, why am I not taking massive action? You got to ask yourself that question 7 times before you even get to the reason why you're not taking massive action. And so as a spiritual therapeutic specialist, it is my job to uncover the reason why you are suffering from the paralysis of analysis and the reason why you are deliberately failing. Now, most people can't deal with this because it requires them to deal with serious negative programming. Because, see, you have to do some serious soul searching to be successful. Because anybody can talk about success, but to actually engage in the activity of success, oh, shizness. Now we've got another, we've got a problem. Something is going on. Because, again, this requires you, brothers and sisters, to step outside of you. It requires you to cultivate a mindset that is in natural alignment with the outcome that you wish to achieve, naturally. It requires you to identify these limiting beliefs. See, our beliefs are so powerful that they literally blind us from seeing the truth. Don't believe me? Go to any church in America on Sunday. It is crazy. I mean, I have this book called From the Cross to the Cube. I don't know if I'll ever publish that book. Because it's impossible for people to understand that a cross is a flat cube. And the cube that's in Mecca and the cube that's on Saturn or Satan or Saturnalia or Saturn, this cube is everywhere. And once you see the cube, and you see that it is a computer program or what it represents, and even in the, it's called the Ospark in the movie The Transformers, then you start understanding why you're not successful. Because you're programmed with either the cross or the cube, because the cube, Islam, is the cross, Christianity. They just, one is flat, folded out and open, pinned on the cross. The other is folded up, kept inside of a box. So without understanding that they both are the same, again, you can't choose between option A and option B. You got to choose option C that's not on the table. So the limiting belief, whatever you're thinking about right now as to why you're not successful, that's not it. That's a start. It's better than nothing. The reason I'm not successful, because of, I was abused as a kid. That's not it. And it's a start. You got to keep digging. You see, there is a transformative thinking. I did the show already, the series on transformative thinking. Hopefully you tuned in and then you listened to that and that you understand, my brothers and sisters, that there is institutionalized failure. You are institutionally designed to fail. You have been programmed. I mean, look at the African-American community. We were so programmed that we actually jumped on board and we celebrated and we promoted Dr. Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement. That's it. Now, we didn't promote human rights. We didn't promote equal rights. We didn't promote, you know, economic rights, marital rights, none of the other. There's a plethora of other rights. We just chose one right out of 100. And we said it was okay for y'all to continue to disrespect us in other areas, just as long as it's done civilly. And you can understand the deliberately or the debilitating disposition that one must have to successfully march, to picket, to get sprayed with fire hose, to get bit in the aspiratus by dogs, to go through all of that just for civil rights, not even criminal. And it's crazy. And now we got laws that's being passed for our safety. So they're taking away our God-given rights in exchange for, no, you should do that in addition to. I should not have to give up any of my rights for the well-being and the safety of my government. But failure is the new success. So you are deliberately failing in the society, again, the dominant culture. They ain't going to tell you that, brother, sister, we have designed a system that is going to take you. Now they got the new pipeline from school to prison. It's always been there, but now it's like out in the open. Now it's if you're in school, supposed to be the thing, again, Ferguson. Whether it's true or not is irrelevant. They are doing what is called predictive programming. So the Bible, whether it's true or not, it is a program that's going to predict your behavior. Because mass consciousness is going to override your individual consciousness. And so you've been programmed to fail. That's why success is so difficult. Because you're going totally against the grain of what everything and everybody else is doing. So your mindset must be totally so consumed with taking massive action that it overrides, debated, disempowering belief system that you have. So what disempowering belief must you begin to cultivate or to disassemble that will make you get rid of this negative habit pattern and go in a different direction in your life? What must you believe in each area of wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship in your life in order for you to attain the goals and the objectives that you set for your life? So my goal is, again, this year, again, just and with my online business, I've got other ventures and other things that I'm doing, but with my online business, you know, I'm making $100,000 this year. So how am I going to do that? I got to transform my language. My language consists of my thoughts and my perception. It has nothing to do with my tongue. So I have to transform my language. I have to do some different way of thinking, gauge and identify these long-term consequences of not taking massive action. What are the consequences of not taking action? And what is the benefits of taking action? I have to make sure that those are crystal clear. Because if I'm sitting around waiting for someone else to do it, then it's never going to happen. And so me, my brothers and sisters, is to for me to understand that I have to prepare my mind. I got to prepare my soil. I got to make sure that while everybody else is playing, I'm planning. And that I need to make a plan of what I am going to do today and tomorrow, and it must be broken down basically by every 15 minutes. I need to have something that I'm specifically working on that takes me towards my dream, toward my goal, that is purpose-based production. That all of my activities are regularly monitored on a daily basis by me, not nobody else. That I take full responsible planning of my own future, and I'm not leaving it into the hands of the government. I must be totally immersed and totally involved in my own life. I don't have time to be involved and immersed in anybody else's life because all of my time is spent being immersed in my own life. While everybody else is sleeping, I've got to be studying. I got to make sure that I understand and I spend necessary time involved in establishing the knowledge and the skill set that I'm going to be needing, that I'm going to need in order for me to stop complaining and stop whining and making excuses and start learning And when problems happen in my life, stop looking for, you know, an easy way out and start looking for the lesson that is to be learned. So when things go wrong, and it's just a matter of time, they will, I got to simply take a step back, take time out, and I need to learn from the experience instead of whining and complaining about the experience. I got to contemplate my reaction. I just can't fly off the handle anymore and be an emotional wreck. And somebody does something and push a button, I no longer can respond emotionally. I have to respond in a manner that's going to allow me, again, to constantly, albeit very slowly or very small steps, I must constantly organize and structure my thought process, my belief process, my emotional process, my action process in a manner and in a way that is taking me in the direction of a worthwhile, worldly goal that is based upon my DNA, my purpose. And I have to believe, I have to build a new belief system that doesn't self-sabotage my success because I'm failing on purpose so that I can get the love from people that really don't love me, because if they did, they would promote me, not tolerate me. So it is this understanding of staring the gift horse in the mouth that what you think is success, brother, may not be success. And it's hard because there's going to be people that's in your corner, is staring you in the face, and is telling you, I love you. And the whole time, they're limiting you because their love says, you can receive my love and my attention as long as you continue to fail. But the moment you make a decision to go in the direction of truth, of love, joy, peace, gentleness, you start to oscillate and vibrate. On that level, all of a sudden, we have a problem. You have to build, brothers and sisters, a new system, a new belief system that's based upon the fruit of the Spirit and not on somebody else's opinion. While other people are again, doubting your ability, you must simply take massive action by developing a massive belief in yourself and in your God and in your purpose. Because that is your plan. That's your path. Because nobody can do me but me. So I must believe in me. I must believe in God, God, the universal creator, the prime creator that developed me. I must understand and believe in that I have a solution to every problem that presents itself. The problem is presented to me so that way I can solve it, thus proving to me that I can, thus establishing my belief, and thus empowering my faith in order for me to move in massive action. So the problems come into my life because they're a gift from God to show me that I am. That I am. And if I run and shrink from my problems, then my success is small. The belief that everything that is seemingly impossible for everybody else is possible for me. Because the word impossible is the word I'm possible. And so I'm going to stop whining, stop crying, and stop making excuses. And I'm going to put my big boy drawers on and my big girl panties on, and I'm going to immediately start to think about solutions instead of whining about the problems. And I'm going to start questioning everything and everybody, questions. Because the word question means I'm embarking upon a quest. And a quest means that you're taking on, you're embarking upon a journey to find the truth. That's why you need to ask questions all day, every day. Questions, everything. Question everybody. The sky is blue. Why is the sky blue? Who said that the sky is blue? What is the proof of the definition of the sky? The earth is round. Who said the earth is round? The earth is flat. Who said it is flat? Who said that we're even freaking on earth? Who says that you are you? How do you know you're you? How many questions? Did you ask questions about common accepted thoughts and things? When you start asking questions about what everybody else holds as a sacred cow, you will find the truth. Because it's this process of questioning everything and everybody that overcomes your limiting beliefs. So you got to create doubt by questioning the validity of your own beliefs. Try that on for size. Try questioning the validity of your own belief system. Try consciously taking control of what you habitually do. You know how you automatically react to certain things. You have a programmed response to certain events and certain circumstances that happen in your life because they trigger a subconscious belief. Overcome your limiting belief by questioning them. Overcome. Now, remember, the enemy does not like to be seen. So he likes to operate in the shadow. That's why it's called the shadow government. That's what they call shadow people. That's why they do everything in the dark. That's why they turn the truth upside down. And so if you pull it out into the light, yeah, the truth gets get exposed. See, they don't like to be exposed. So as long as you keep acting like the elephant in the room is not there, they're good. But the moment that you pull that elephant out into the open, you see that elephant is just a small little rat. And you can freaking squash it. That's going to allow you to move forward and take immediate action. But you can't take immediate action as long as you continue to ignore, why am I deliberately failing when I know this? Why am I procrastinating? Why am I not taking massive action? Why am I continuing to practice a belief that doesn't work? That doesn't serve me? Why am I continually to do things that I know is not taking me in the direction of the goal that I say I want? I'm saying that I want to be wealthy. I want to be healthy. I want to be wise. I want to be in a good relationship. So I'm saying these things. So if I'm saying these things, why am I not doing these things? What is prohibiting me from moving in the direction of my goal? Why am I not taking massive action? Because everything begins with overcoming your procrastination. See, you have to establish clear, crystal clear, because clarity, my brothers and sisters, is the thing that allows you to reverse this negative habit pattern. It allows you to overcome this instant gratification ideal, this idea that says it has to be done yesterday. It allows you, again, to make a decision daily. Every day you got to make the same decision. That what you're going to do to help yourself and others to move forward towards the goals and the objectives that you have established in your life. Now, initially it's going to be difficult. Initially it's going to be painful. But again, the payoff outweighs. And so what's going to happen is that you're going to start to examine certain things that you're going to realize that, hey, I've been living my life recklessly. I've been wasting a lot of time. I've been spending my hard-earned money on things that are not serving me and taking me into the I'm not investing in myself. You are going to start to notice that I'm wasting my time, I'm wasting my money, I'm wasting my thoughts. See, you spend only on what you want, not on what you need. As a result, you got to start living more frugally. You got to stay out of debt. You got to save your money. You got to build long-term relationships and long-term financial wealth strategies. See, you have to be a creator, and you have to stop being a consumer. You have to be, again, somebody who understands and can identify this consumer mentality that is destroying your reality. And you got to be willing to weigh the risk and move in the direction of your fear, because your reward should override your fear. And so that means you must make sure that what you have as a dream is actually your dream, and it's not somebody else's dream. So you got to think big, because big thinking allows you to take massive action. And it is this process of taking massive. Notice the action must be massive. See, you can't take small steps in life. You can, but it's not going to get you in the direction of your goal. Now, I've talked about this many times before, about your motivated abilities pattern, and have a particular set of skills that, but this is different. This is deeper than establishing, you know, just writing down a plan and identifying some skills and techniques. No, this is the psychology that's underneath. This is the psychology of why you're not successful. This is the psychology of establishing biological powering habits. And so once you understand the psychology of failure, and you see why you have convinced yourself that failure is a better option than success. See, the problem with most people's fear of failure is that it is unconscious. But the moment that you become conscious that I am failing because the people, because the culture, because the environment that I live in rewards me for failure. It rewards me for being on food stamps. It rewards me for taking government assistance. It rewards me for getting SSI. It rewards me for, you know, doing or admitting or accepting that I have some kind of a manufactured mental illness so I can get that check from the Social Security. It rewards me for playing the damsel in distress. So women, you get rewarded. There's some guys like me, they, you know, we're Captain Saber Blank, and we want to go out and we want to save everybody. So it allows you to get the attention of, you know, possible male suitors by dumbing yourself down. Now, you're very intelligent. You're very smart, but you know the answers to most questions, but, you know, you don't say anything. You kind of hide in the background. You real reserved. You don't really let your light shine because why you outshine most men? And in our culture, it's a masculine culture. You know, so women are supposed to be, you know, women are not supposed to have, like, intelligence. Their brains should not outshine a man's brain. So, you know, you can't take massive action because if you take massive action, you might outshine, you know, the men. So if you're a woman, you know, you got a predicament. You got a problem because you really can't be you because the moment that you start being you, you start oscillating and vibrating at a single standing column of waveform energy. As long as you're operating in this duality mode, as long as you're double-minded, as long as you, you know, playing small, then, you know, so you get, you know, you get the attention of men. So it's a benefit for you that you are deliberately playing small because you know you're going to receive attention. But go on Facebook and start posting some intelligent stuff. Watch how many men kind of shy away from you because now you know, I can't control you. So I don't want to be in a relationship with you if I can't control you. Because as a man, you know, men, we're control freaks. So we don't want a woman that actually got a brain, that actually thinks for herself, that actually come up with some intelligent ideas because that means that, okay, I'm not the man. So, you know, I got to come up with stuff. So I got to start destroying the relationship because why? I'm married to a woman that got some brain. And, you know, we can't do it. No, that's violating the man code. So as women, y'all been programmed to take a step back and let the man lead. Let the man shine, even though your ideals may be better or maybe just as equally as relevant as the men in your life. Or your supervisor on your job. But because you're female, you can't shine. So you deliberately not understanding that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So you cannot afford the luxury of a limiting thought. You can't afford it. Because even though you limit yourself in one area, it bleeds over into the other area. And you'll find that failure now is your lifestyle. Because you subconsciously allowed yourself to fail. Failure makes you feel loved, valued, and respected. And so from a psychological perspective, we all want to be loved. We all want to be valued. And we all want to be respected. And so as long as I, you know, don't say anything that questions the authority figures in my life, then they accept me. But the moment I raise my hand and say, how was his name, Jesus, and there was no J's? Usher. The moment you start asking relevant questions, brothers and sisters, all of a sudden, you see, brothers and sisters, failure distorts your perception of your ability. So once you settle, I'm saying failure, I probably should be using the word settle. Because what that does, brothers and sisters, it failure automatically distorts your perceptions of your goals and your reality, and it makes them seem unattainable. Notice I said the word distort. So your goals are just as attainable as anybody else's. But now you are so used to failing that you have deliberately failed so many times in order to receive your payment and your payoff that now your brain distorts the attainability of your goals. So you cannot psychologically attain your goals no matter what they are. I can tell you that I got a guaranteed position that's going to pay you. Everything's guaranteed in your brain. Now remember, brain works by blocking out everything that doesn't align with its existing belief system. And so our beliefs are so powerful that they literally blind us. That's why you can go to the hood and you can drop a $100 bill on the ground and a poor person will walk right past it. They'll never see it because their brain automatically blocks out. Automatically. You can't be successful if you have poverty consciousness. You can read every book. You can go to every guru. You can lay hands on you. They can slap all upside your head. You can speak in any tongue, any language you want to. Nothing is going to happen if your beliefs are whack. These limiting beliefs, brothers and sisters, are the things that is prohibiting you from even listening to a show like this, for even putting it on the table. So when I say let's take massive action, you know what your brain says? It's not the events of our lives that shape us, but our beliefs as to what these events mean. So I say, let's take massive action, and your brain says, what does that mean? So that means that I got to do something that I don't believe. So my brain says, you can't do that. Well, everybody else is doing it, but we can't do it. Why can't we do it, brain? Because our beliefs, we have been conditioned. Our perception has been formed. We have built based upon events and old memories, be they good memories or bad memories, and based upon our past, based upon the emotionalization of our past experiences, based upon the dominant culture and the environment, based upon the authority figures in our life, we have effectively built a system or a cistern. The Bible calls it a cistern. It says that the water cannot hold cisterns. These are systems. A cistern is a system. So we built these cisterns that can't hold water. So these beliefs, again, are nothing more than concrete rules that command our nervous system and our chemical system, our electrical system, our biological, electrical, chemical system. And these are the systems that allow me to move. And unless I deal with these concrete rules that limit my movement, because they shape my thoughts, they filter my experiences to shape my belief. They don't filter my experience to shape reality. So you're not living in reality. You're living in your belief. And if I don't change the command structure that influences me on a conscious level and a subconscious level, then I am going to continue to self-sabotage my success. So these beliefs are just assumptions. They're not theorems. They're theories. These are just ideals. So all of these theories, all of these ideals, all of these experiences, all of these emotional reactions to things that happened to me in the past, they formulated a set of conclusions. Conclusions that were formulated when I was 8. They have not been examined now that I'm older. So now you got to go back and examine these beliefs that you've established. You got to make it okay to question the validity of your beliefs. If not, you can't take massive action. Your beliefs are the foundation of all of your expectations. So your expectations, again, you bring about what you expect. If I expect good things to happen, good things happen. If I expect bad things to happen, bad things happen. You see, my brothers and sisters, these beliefs that you hung on to, they're not concrete. because these beliefs are not based upon facts. I told you the story about the family that used to cut the end off of both pieces of ham, and they asked, well, Mom, why do we cut the butt or the head or why do we cut both ends of the ham out? She said, I don't know. Actually, grandmother, that's how she taught. Grandma, why do we cut both ends of the ham? I don't know. Go ask your great-grandmother. She taught me. Great-grandmother, why do we cut off both ends of the ham? She said, well, I used to cut off both ends of the ham because they wouldn't fit in the pan. So you mean to tell me we got three generations of cookers or women who cook ham and they cut off both ends of the ham because they were taught. But back then, they didn't have a pan that was big enough for the ham to fit in. Today, they got pans three sizes the size of the ham. The ham could fit in the pan easily. There is no need to cut and throw away good pieces of meat. But because nobody questioned the validity of the belief, which that belief is cut off both ends of the ham. So if you don't question that belief, you continue to do it just because you was taught it, and now you don't question it, you're just wasting ham. So the moral of that story, my brothers, question the validity of the belief. But you don't have the authority. You can't question your authority. You can't question the authority figures in your life. Well, brothers and sisters, if you don't do it, you can't take massive action. Because what you will find that over a lifetime, your beliefs are ingrained in your nervous system due to what is called a neurological network. So this neural net is the result of repeated situations which prove the legitimacy of this belief. So throughout your life, you have collected facts, you've collected evidence, you've collected all of this stuff that validates to you. It may not be real to anybody else, but over time you've built up this neurological network. It's a neural net inside of your brain. You use your imagination, you use your ideas, your experiences, everything that is happening to you, whether it is true or not, it's real for you. So you believe that there's a boogeyman underneath your bed. Because when you was a kid, you had this thought, you gathered facts, you had fear, you put the emotion in, somebody came in, they told you stories, maybe they was joking, but you never questioned that belief. So now, you have an emotional intensity. You're claustrophobic, you're afraid of the dark, you're afraid of heights, you're afraid of spiders. Whatever your emotional intensity, there's an emotional intensity behind certain things. Because you hold certain things. And you've attached certain terms and certain expectations with these certain emotional intensity. And this emotional intensity isn't examined. Because if you logically, reasonable and logically say that if I'm on a firm foundation, regardless of how high I'm up in the air, if this foundation is firm, there's no reason to be afraid of heights. But we still are. So we've got to use reason and logic to override our emotional conditioning. And that requires you to find the belief system that is limiting your success. And it's very difficult because the strength of a belief. See, your beliefs are the core of who you are. So if I question your beliefs, I'm questioning you. So your ego is not going to allow you to just change, even though I can give you biological, I can give you scientific, I can give you all the proof in the world. Your ego is going to say, nope, we're not changing. See, your beliefs are determined by how you feel about yourself. It's how you feel about other people around you, how you feel about certain events, certain circumstances in your life. See, your understanding of your beliefs influence all of your feelings. And so it's because your beliefs, they mask and they operate as real. And they operate as you instead of just operating as a experience or a opinion or a imagination. Your beliefs now, they determine right and wrong. Your beliefs are powerful because you gave your beliefs strength. So your beliefs will determine your expectations. Your beliefs will determine your perceptions of your reality. So it's not reality, it's your perception of reality based upon your beliefs. So this is the biology of belief, you know, so. This is epigenetics. This is what Dr. Bruce Lipton eloquently talked about and what I talk about inside of my book, Neurotheology, what I'm talking about doing this series, again, that deals with the biology of the temple. So there's three things that you need to ask yourself, because these three rules establishes your belief system, and we need to change it. Because there are psychological beliefs, there is cultural beliefs, and there are convictional, spiritual, or religious beliefs. And so each one of these, there is something. There's a psychological belief that you have that's, again, limiting your success. There is a cultural, a social, a family, a inherited, a hereditary belief that is limiting your success. Then there is a religious or a spiritual conviction. There's some type of a conviction, usually religious, that is limiting your success. So if you don't examine those three areas that limit or embody your attitude, this embodies who you really are. It is expressed in the form of your willpower. So your subconscious belief establishes the amount of energy you can put into something. So how much energy am I going to muster up if it comes to doing something that goes against my belief system? If I don't believe in this particular thing, then I am not going to put all of my energy into this particular thing. Now, let me be crystal clear, because this is very, very, very powerful. So let's look at these three beliefs as we close. So you have some type of a psychological belief. Now, when I say psychological, psychology, again, is cognitive. And so when we talk about cognitive, we're talking about the brain. So psychological behaviorism is the psychological term that establishes your psychological belief systems or your psychological belief. So this is called cognitive illusions. These cognitive illusions are based upon the third one, religious, and the second one that has to do more so with culture. And if we don't understand this cultural, now the psychological belief is built on the other two. So the psychological belief is huge. That's why we have the whole field of psychology. Unfortunately, psychology doesn't deal with the thing that defines it. Psychology just deals with psychology. So your psychological belief is made up of cultural, what is called social factors or social codes and hidden norms. So these social codes and hidden norms, a social code is like the best way where I learned about social codes and hidden norms when I worked in a supermax prison, because that was a hidden code. Nobody wrote, it's not written down. You go to the rec yard, all the blacks is on the east side of the rec yard, all the whites are on the north, all the Hispanics is on the south. The Asians, you just have to kind of fit in, go somewhere where you don't get stabbed. So the prison system, they have unwritten rules. So if you go to prison, and let's say you've never been to prison, and you don't know that as an African-American, you got to stick to your own. You just don't go hang out with, even though you have white friends. Well, see, this is what I had to learn really quickly, because all of my friends were Caucasian, and at that time my wife was Caucasian. So, hey, I was cool with everybody. And then I got to the prison system, and the inmates will hurt you if you do not abide by this code. So the head of the Black Panther Party pulled me over and said, yo, man, we see that you kind of like cool with all of the inmates. That's my job, man. I'm a guard. He said, no, that's not how it works. Now, the guards, the academy, they didn't tell me this. The inmates told me. See, the inmates were in the prison, contrary to popular belief. Now, the inmates represents the dominant or the shadow people. So who runs the government or the system that we're in? That's a shadow government. See, it's not run by Obama. It's run by the black. It's run by the Jesuit priest. It's run by the black pope. See, all the stuff that they put out front, that's just an image. That's not who runs the system. Just like in the prison, there's a shadow government. There's an underlying government, brothers. There's an underlying government, sisters, that runs psychology. And if you don't understand, you can't take massive action. So my job is to help you cultivate with inside of you the tools and the necessary mental wherewithal to be able to pull out that shadow and expose it to the light. You see, they don't like to be seen. They like to operate with immunity. They like to operate in the background and in the shadow. But once you expose the subconscious belief system, you eradicate it. So this cognitive illusion is what the psychology is based upon. This cognitive illusion is based upon social factors and religious beliefs or spiritual beliefs that are faulty. But you've never, ever examined them. You never pulled them off and looked at the psychology of the belief. Now, once you look at the psychology of the belief, then you can change the biology of the belief. Now, the biology of belief and the biology of behavior, Dr. Bruce Lipton, if you've never heard of Dr. Bruce Lipton, please read. Again, you can read all of my stuff because in order to unleash the power of, again, massive action, you have to understand the biology of belief. In the biology of belief, he says that now your belief establishes your genes. Your genes don't establish belief. Back in the day, if you had a cancer gene, you could kiss the baby. Why? Because that means that gene was running your family. It's heredity. We can't do nothing about it. We just wait for you to die. Now we know, and I have in my book, I just bought it yesterday, we're going to be talking about it tonight, this thing called biofrequency. And Dr. Royal Raymond White, 1800s, made a machine that puts in frequency, your thoughts, into a disease, and it totally eradicates it, destroys it. It's called frequency medicine. So now we can unleash the power of massive action. How do we unleash it? We unleash the power, you know, and give you, we empower you with the ability to take massive action because we understand the biological, we understand the bioelectrical, we understand the biochemical effects of the brain and how it functions on the cells so that your body is now affected by your thoughts. So, again, as a cellular biologist, as a historian, as somebody who understands the biology of belief, by simply changing your language, your self-talk, by changing the symbols that you see, by changing the illusions that's in your head, by establishing this new science of what they call epigenetics, it has revolutionized our understanding. And so now we understand that we do have mind over matter. So it doesn't matter what matters is your mind. So if I change your mind, I change your matter. So you can't take action today, but guess what? In 2017, I'm going to teach you how to take action. How am I going to teach you how to take action? Because I'm going to totally change by doing step one that we talked about yesterday. So I'm looking for 25 people. If you want to be one of those 25, you need to make sure you email me at masterteacher33@gmail.com. That email address, again, is masterteacher33@gmail.com. It's important that you, again, lay a good mental foundation. This is the blueprint for success. This mental foundation is going to, just like your autoimmune system works automatically, your mental foundation is going to work automatically. It's going to automatically propel you to take massive action in the direction of your goal. Once you got the mental preparation, once you take massive action, then we have step three, which we're going to discuss tomorrow, and that is immediate measurable results. My brothers and my sisters, this is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers. Thank everybody so much for joining me on today's show. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, instead of part one, continue to lead you and guide you into all truth, because it will never, ever, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now. But no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee, reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. That's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle and seems firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn with something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the park. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You going us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. A 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Yeah.